It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. The sports analyst that covers it all brings it all every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Sometimes they go into overtime. You don't want to miss these two former college football athletes, the Who Dat and Niner Gang, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Bang Bang Niner Gang.
It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. It is Wednesday, 7 p.m., so that means you are tuned into Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a great one for you this evening. We're going to recap Super Bowl 57. We're going to talk Patrick Mahomes. We're going to talk Jalen Hurts, Andy Reid. Eric Bieniemy seems like he's maybe on the move from the Chiefs. New news came out on that. We'll dive into that for sure. Derek Carr has been released from the Raiders. We're going to talk about his possible landing spots. Also, the Eagles lose both of their defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator as well. Plus, we'll dive into some NBA talk. Also, we'll get into our Hollywood Swinging segment, new segment there. And, of course, our most popular Eric Scott's entertainment segment at the end as well. So with all that being said, let's welcome in Mr. E. Scott. How are you doing this evening, my brother?
Hey, man, all is well down here in the Sunshine State. We're here for a good time, not a long time.
Yes, sir. We ain't going to go long, but we are going to go hard. All right, good stuff, good stuff. All right, E, let's start off with the with the big one, man. I know with Wednesday and some people are still celebrating it. You know, the Chiefs, the Chiefs just had their parade today. The Eagles fans are still, to me, they're still in denial. But we'll dive into that for sure. But E, congratulations to the Chiefs for sure. But give me your thoughts and opinions on the game. The biggest thing that you took from that game, and also there was some turning points there, and a lot of people were questioning. There's some controversy there. But dive into all that for us, E.
Okay, the game went as I expected. I thought it was going to be a high-scoring game. I thought very little defense was going to be played. All those came true. The one fumble that Jalen Hurts had, fumbling and turnover was a part of the game. I think that really hurt the Eagles the most. I mean, because they were going touchdown for touchdown up until that point, and the Eagles
right. –
The Eagles won the game in every facet except for on the scoreboard. I mean, they time of possession. Now, the one thing that Kansas City did that I still can't quite figure out, how were they getting so wide open on those touchdowns in the red zone? I mean, Jalen had to rush for his touchdowns in the red zone. He had to fight, the nitty-gritty to get his. Looked like when the Chiefs got in the red zone, they just walked into the end zone. I don't understand. Now, I was watching where somebody was breaking it down, how the enemy drew up the fake jet sweep because they said he knew Philly would bite on it, and they did. Mm-hmm. But they ran the same play twice, one to each side, and both times the guy was like wide open. So. That kudos to the enemy for drawing that up because Andy Reid, they were giving Coach Reid credit for it. He was like, "Nah, that was all the enemy." So, I mean, I thought it was a very good football game. Like I said, it went how I thought it was going to go. I thought the Eagles were going to pull it out. I thought the Eagles played a better football game, but I'm not mad at the outcome. Now I know we're going to get into the whole Diddy Hole play.
Yeah.
The thing I'll say about that. He said he held, so we know he held. My thing was, why were people so upset that they called it? And they're like, "Oh, you got to let him play. You got to let him play." Well, from the angle I was looking at, if he doesn't hold him, the guy catches a touchdown because he actually held him twice within the first 5 yards, which is legal. And then he grabbed him again around the waist.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't do that, I think the guy catches a touchdown. If you're the ref, you have to call that. I mean, because if you don't call it, it's like a blown call. you know, when the Rams
right.
and the Saints and the NFC Championship game. But I still have nightmares about that, so I won't go there. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Yeah, for sure, E. For sure. I mean, I think, you know, we'll stay right there on the holding call for sure. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, you know, some Eagle fans are downplaying and some Eagles fans are saying that was the difference in the game that cost them the game. You know, there's so many different ways you can break it down. Not one play is going to cost you a game. Yeah. Yes, you say, you know, he shouldn't have called it at that time and in that part of the game. But like you mentioned, E, and I said it myself, he would have got away with it with the first hold. I don't think the ref would have called that first hold. But when he held him the second time, that's when he had to call it because it was blatant. Now, I don't know if he would have caught the ball. And then, you know, I don't know. I think that was kind of out of his reach, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think Juju's that fast. But nonetheless, it was a holding call. And, again, if he held him the first time and he didn't call it, then I was like, okay, yeah, you don't call that in that situation. But when he held him that second time and there was two holds on that one play, that's when you have to say, listen, enough is enough. I can't look the other way twice. You know what I mean? I can't do a double take twice. Because if you remember in earlier in the game in the second quarter when the same thing happened in the middle of the field, that they didn't throw the flag and Juju was out of his mind. And a lot of people were saying, that, well, if Juju goes held, why didn't he make a big fuss about it, you know, like he did earlier in the game, when, you know, in the middle of the field when he got, you know, was pass interference there.
Well, he didn't ask they called it.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Yeah,
he
made a big fuss the first time because it was a no call. He didn't have to make a fuss the second time because they called it.
Right, and that's what they're saying. So why didn't he make a big deal out of that? Why didn't he make, because, like you stated, because they called it. I mean, there were so many different, you know, I'm hearing it from so many different people, and even non-Eagle fans. I've heard it from Cowboy fans. I've heard it from Giants fans that you don't call it. Don't tell me it wasn't a hold. You know, I don't want to hear that argument from anyone. I don't care if you're an Eagles fan. I don't care if you're a Chiefs fan. Don't tell me anyone that doesn't like the Eagles, such as myself. Don't tell me that wasn't a hold, okay? It was clearly a hold, two holds, all right? Just your argument has to be, well, you shouldn't call it in that situation. The ref shouldn't call it in that situation because they're saying that they set a tone that they're going to allow them to play throughout the game. Nah, you know what? They would have. If he would have just held him that first time, I think he would have got away with it. But the second one, it was a no-brainer. They would have came down on that ref so hard, meaning the league, the head officials, you know, those guys. He would have got hit so hard on that had he not called that penalty. But anyway, let's go back to the game just a little bit, E. And I want to ask you. You know, you mentioned, how everything went down as far as Eric Bieniemy dialing up those plays and them getting them wide open. What other surprises to you in that game did you take out of that? Because to me, there were a couple that really surprised me that a lot of people that I'm kind of talking about, but not so much. But what say you?
Well, the inability to get to the quarterback. Because Philly has a great front four. And Kansas City doesn't have the best offensive line. I thought they would put more pressure on Mahomes and got to him a bit more. I just thought both defenses would have been a little more aggressive because there's no tomorrow. We leave it all out here on the field today because it was obvious both offenses were clicking. But if you could have got more pressure on Mahomes or if you could have got more pressure on Hurts, I think that would have changed the game because the fumble that Hurts had, it wasn't because he was pressed. He was rolling back, and he dropped the football. I mean, it's not like, you know, he was under just deep duress, and they hit him and shook the ball loose. No, the ball simply slipped out of his hands. Another takeaway I took away, too, was the field condition. I thought the field condition could have been better. And, okay, I know all around the league and players have complained about various field conditions and whatever. But we've known the Super Bowl was going to be in Arizona for over a year. This is the biggest stage of all time as far as a football game. You got to have a venue, correct? I mean, you can't. There's a lot that you can't control, but something you can control is the venue. And, I mean, even
right.
before halftime, the field was a mess. And then after halftime, it was just absolutely ridiculous. You NFL, Arizona, Dr. Saad, whoever, you got to do a better job of that. You can't have the field be a major contributing factor at the Super Bowl. I mean, you just can't have that happen.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to stay right there with you, E, on that one, because as you mentioned, you knew how long the Super Bowl was going to be played there. And not to mention, E, I looked it up, and I brought this up on a show that I'm on with Tuesday nights with Jason Collins and Brittany Jones, Sideline Speaks, is that I looked it up. The Cardinals did not play on that field. No games were played on that field. NFL games were played on that field since week 16. Week 16. So that was the last 2 weeks of the regular season for the Cardinals. So they didn't play week 16. They didn't play week 17. Week 17 and week 18, excuse me. So they didn't play those 2 weeks. Then you had the wild card weekend. Then you had the divisional round. Then you had the NFC Championship, and then you had 2 weeks after that. So we're talking about a good 6 to 7 weeks that they didn't play on. No one played on that field. So to have that field look the way that it did, like they were playing football on an ice rink, you know, if you will, like we were watching guys trying to play football, and you know, in a hockey rink, if you will, it just didn't look. It just everyone was slipping. There was a couple of plays that could have broken open the game for either team, but due to the field conditions, they weren't able to do that. A couple guys came out and changed their cleats, but it didn't matter. I don't think it mattered. It wasn't a matter of it being, it being wet. It would just look slick, man. It just looked really, really slick. And then that's where I had a problem with it, man, because like you mentioned, someone has to be held accountable for that, man, whether it be the NFL, the ground, whoever is in charge of getting that venue together, as you mentioned, has to be held accountable for sure. But another takeaway that I got out of the game, E, as well, I know we got your buddy Drew holding on, so we'll bring him in a moment. Is that the Eagles, you know, with that offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs and, you know, Patrick Mahomes in that leg, they had zero sacks. They had zero sacks. And in the regular season, they had over 70 sacks. They had four guys with 10-plus sacks as well. And they didn't get to the – they got to them a couple times, but they didn't get any sacks. And that's what the biggest thing that I took away from that is that Eagles defense and that pass rush, you know, that they rely on. Now, if they don't get any sacks, going in, a lot of people said, including myself, is that the weakest point of the Achilles heel of the Eagles defense was the back end. And I said that the back end – is only as good as the front end of that defense. If the front end is not getting to the quarterback, then it's going to be a long night for the back end. And it turned out to be that. You see what Kelce did on that first touchdown, put him in situations where, you know, just went over the top. And then we've seen certain plays as well. Juju Smith-Schuster, I mean, he had a heck of a game. They were just working those guys, man, because the defensive line could not get to Patrick Mahomes, as well, especially in the second half. But another thing I took away as well is how well the Chiefs played on defense, I think, especially in the second half. First half, they gave up 24 points. Second half, they only gave up 11 points. So I think it was a great adjustment by Spags and that entire offense. I mean, that entire team, you know, especially on the offensive side. I just think they won the coaching battle and they won the adjustment battle as well, meaning the Chiefs. So just hats off to them, man. And just a great game.
Here's one thing that I'm going to need from Goodell and the powers that be in the NFL front office. If DeMaurice Smith can get involved, whoever. I need a true definition of what a catch is. I mean, I need you to explain it to me and make it clear where a fifth grader would know what a catch is.
Yeah.
I mean, because it seems like the rules change. Oh, he caught it, but the ball was moving. Now.
Yeah.
That I don't have a problem with that rule, but they say that both ways. Sometimes they'll say, oh, he caught it. The ball was moving and it hit the ground, but he secured it. Catch. Then other times they will say, well, he caught it, but he didn't truly have possession until he went out of bounds. The ball never hit the ground. No catch. Those two things can't both be true. I mean, if the ball is moving and he secured it, but it hit the ground, to me, that's automatically not a catch. Oh, but he caught it. He didn't fully possess it in bounds, but he never dropped it, which means he carried through the action of the catch, and he drug his foot. So that should be a catch. I mean, it shouldn't be that confusing is what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not advocating for you to have it either way. I just need a true definition and some consistency, because you can't say one's a catch and one's not a catch when they're both contradicted to each other and the ball hits the ground. To me, that should not be the catch. But when the ball doesn't hit the ground, oh, but he didn't establish possession until then. You know what I'm saying? I just need clear and a concise definition of what a catch is.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, it's basically you got to survive the ground, of course, and then that ball can move, but your hands can be on it, but it didn't hit the ground. I'm assuming you're referring to the Goddard catch on I think it was 3rd-15. I'm assuming you're referring to that particular catch.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a catch in my opinion, because he did not have control. His left foot was up. And he did not have control. He did establish it, but it went his right foot in, but then ultimately his left foot came down out of bounds. And you could slow that down in so many different ways, and you can look at it, you know, so many different ways, so many different angles. And to me, it wasn't a catch. If you're looking at it, you know, is his cleat touching a blade of grass that kicked up, then it's a catch, okay? You know, but is that blade of grass that kicked up, is it still attached to the ground? I mean, you know, exactly. I get what you say, E, but and that's how I look at it, too, is there's so many different definitions of that, or not so many definitions, but two different definitions, which sounds contradictory to one another for sure. So I definitely get where you're coming from there. But I guess it all depends on who's looking at it and what angle that they use to make that determination for sure. All right, we got your good buddy here, Drew, on. What we're going to do is let's grab our first break here. We come back. We're going to bring him in, and then we'll get his thoughts and opinions on the Super Bowl, and then we will talk Patrick Mahomes. Is he now an all-time great at quarterback? Is he in your top 10? Also want to talk Jalen Hurts. Where do you rank Jalen Hurts right now as far as quarterbacks go? Do you have him in your top 5, top 2, top 3? Where do you have Jalen Hurts? Also, I got to talk about Eric Bieniemy. He's supposed to be interviewing tomorrow with the Washington Commanders. We got so much dialed up for you, ladies and gentlemen, so we'll definitely dive into that after the break. Again, you are tuned in to Sports Talk with Kay Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is Jaquan J. Kelly, a.k.a. Jamel Arif, Master Killer of Wu-Tang and American Saga on Hulu. You're listening to Sports Talk with Kay Walk and E. Scott. They're taking a quick break, and they'll be right back.
Hey, need your W-2s, 1099s, processed, printed, and mailed? Email us today at 1040@javistax.com, 1040@javistax.com, or call 803-419-1001, 803-419-1001.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
And we are back. And again, you are tuned in to Sports Talk with Kay Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Before the break, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, we were recapping the Super Bowl 57. They were thoughts and opinions on the game, our outtakes on that, our most surprising takes as well. Want to stay on the not so much the Super Bowl topic, but I want to talk about Patrick Mahomes, E. And we're going to bring in your good buddy. I'll let you introduce him here. His mic is open. E, take it away, brother.
Hey, a good friend of mine, Drew. I wanted to bring him on because we always talk sports, K-Walk, kind of like me and you do. And he keeps telling me, hey, man, when you going to have me on the show? When you going to have me on the show? So, and then he says, oh, you want to have me on, but you only call me 5 minutes before y'all go live. So I sent him an official invite this morning to come on the show. So, Drew, Fred, you on the show, dog. What you got for me?
Hey, thanks a lot, Ian. It's good to be on with you. You gave me a few hours today, so I think I'm ready.
All right. Appreciate you joining us, brother.
So, Drew, we've been recapping the Super Bowl, as you could probably hear. We'd like to hear your thoughts, your takeaways, what you took from the Super Bowl, who you had, did the game come out the way you thought, just yeah. Give me something on the Super Bowl.
First of all, I'll say I thought it was a great game. It was a better than expected game. I was looking forward to the game. I'm from Washington, so I'm a Washington fan, so it's hard to root for the Eagles. But I was pulling for Jalen Hurts. I'll be honest. I was pulling for Jalen Hurts, but at the same time, I like Patrick Mahomes as well. So I wasn't overly disappointed that the Eagles lost. But I was pulling for the Eagles, and I wish the game would have ended a little bit differently than it ended. I heard you all talking about the hold and the definition of a catch. I think the definition of a catch is still a little shaky in everyone's mind. But notwithstanding, I thought it was a competitive game. I wish the game would have ended differently, and the Eagles would have been able to get another possession at the end of the game. But the Chiefs were smart in the way that, that's the ultimate clock management we saw Sunday.
Now, yeah, now that you mentioned that, that was great. Because Greg Olsen was, I don't know if y'all had the volume up over at Rod's, but I could hear the whole game where I was watching. Greg Olsen was imploring them for the guy to get down, get down, get down. Now, last week, Drew, I know you weren't on, but we talked about announcers and broadcasters and what they bring to the table. We both think Greg Olsen, myself and K-Wall, both think Greg Olsen is fantastic. I don't know how you just kick him out of the number one broadcast booth and bring in Tom Brady with no experience, who doesn't give good interviews, and who's not very personable. I really think Greg Olsen did a great job in the Super Bowl. And like we said before on the show, K-Wall, broadcast teams don't move the needle because Pat Summerall and John Madden were the best to ever do it. But even if it was a game that wasn't Pat Summerall and John Madden, it's not like I'm not going to watch. Best scenario, when it's a bad broadcasting duo, which the awesome band was out there, they had Doris Burke out there one time. That was awful. You turn the volume down. When I watch games in the sports bar, they only have the volume at 1 o'clock. They only have the volume on for one game that's on the main TV, which is usually not the Saints. So we off to a TV on the side, and I can't hear it anyway. So with that being said, Drew, what do you think about them just automatically giving the job to Tom Brady and kicking Greg Olsen out the number one broadcasting spot?
I'll be honest, I wasn't aware of that. I knew that Brady had the money on the table to go to Fox, but I didn't know he was going to the broadcast booth. I thought he was going to be on the pregame show, because I think that pregame show is a little old in the tooth. You got Terry Bradshaw from the 70s, Howie Long in the 80s. Strahan's the youngest one there. Jimmy Johnson from the 80s and 90s. It's time, in my opinion, it's time for to update the show. That's probably a nice way to phrase it.
So, yeah, well,
I thought
not
that's
only
where
is he going,
was going. I didn't realize he was going to the booth.
Not only is he going to the booth, he's going to the number one spot.
Yeah.
Well, and I would expect him to be nowhere else but number one. But I didn't realize he was going through the boots. So he's going to have to do a lot of work this offseason to get ready for that, because I think that's going to be a bit of a challenge for him. And I'm surprised that he's willing to do that. I kind of thought he would take more of the Peyton Manning retirement route and just kind of appear here and there and do what you want to do and stay flexible.
Well, he did inform us that he won't be there until 2024. He is going to take a year off, and we know the dude's fickle. So within a year, a lot could change. And you know, Fox not mad at him, because the longer you defer, the less time they got to pay him.
Yeah,
right.
Go ahead, Kay.
Oh no! You answered. You asked the question that I was going to, or not? You didn't ask the question, but it was just that was my comment. I was just going to let him know that it's not going to be till the fall of 2024 that you know that's when he's going to be in the booth. So it gives him time to sharpen his skills, if you will. You know, maybe he'll do something on the side. You know, eventually he'll come in here and there. Not sure exactly what he'll use as a training tool. He's got to have his training. I don't think, like you mentioned, he's not personable like that. He doesn't have that personality, unless you get him on a yacht after after a Super Bowl win. Right, exactly.
You know, I'm not sure that I agree with that, because I think since he's been in Tampa, he showed a lot more personality than he ever showed in New England. And, you know, if you saw him, like, on the Shop, LeBron's HBO show.
Yeah, I did see that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a lot of personality on there. I thought he was absolutely hilarious. So I think he has a little bit more personality than he showed in New England.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What did you make of the field conditions?
I thought the field conditions were horrible. But typically what the NFL does on these grass fields is they'll put down a new field before the Super Bowl. And, you know, as we saw Sunday, it doesn't always catch quick enough. So it's a shame that the field conditions turned out to be a factor in the game. And it's a shame that Jalen Hurts had to take those nice Jordans off that he had on in the first half.
All right. Hey, let me ask you this question, E, and then and you can piggyback off of this, Drew. Is that, do you think, E and Drew, do you think that, because they did have the roof open in that stadium, and we all know how Arizona weather can be. It could be 100 degrees, throughout the day, and then, come once that sun goes down, it could be in the 40s, 50, you got desert weather. Do you think that played a part in the field conditions, E? You think they should just kept the roof closed? What say you, E?
I think it does. There may be something to that. But like we said earlier, K-Walk, they had over a year. They should have figured that out.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Because the sod father, as they call them, what they were doing, they were rolling up the field, taking it outside, watering it, and then reinstalling it back and forth. I mean, I think you had enough time to figure this out. Can we go roof open? Do we need to be roof closed? You got to factor in the halftime show, what they're going to do to the field. But again, this field was a mess even before the halftime show.
Yeah. What say you, Drew, about that question? Do you think the roof played a part in it? Okay.
I think the roof open probably might have helped, because I think it cuts down on the humidity inside of the stadium. Although Arizona is not a particularly humid place, I think if the dome with all of those people, it would just get warm in there, I would think, which would make the field potentially even slicker. But I don't think the roof being open, I mean, there was no wind, there was no inclement weather, so I really don't think the roof open was really a factor.
Okay. I just had to ask that question, but go ahead, E. I'll take it away.
No. That was pretty much all I had about the Super Bowl. I just wanted to recap and get some of it finished. We can move on to the next agenda item. What you got?
All right. I want to talk about Patrick Mahomes, man. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is now 27 years old, guys, and he's been a starter for 5 years now. You know, he came in the league, and he obviously he backed up, but he's been a full-time starter, and he's been the worst he's finished in his 5-year career was a loss in the AFC Championship. And to the Bengals. So let me ask you this, guys. I mean, right now, do you have – E, I'll start with you on this one. Do you have him right now? I don't know if you have a list, E, but if you don't have a list, would you did a starting five – I mean, not starting five, a top ten of all time – is he? Would you put him in the top 10 right now, or what say you about that? Because this guy's, man, he's nothing shorter than an AFC champ. He wakes up in the morning, and he's going to give you an AFC championship appearance at least.
I do have a top 10 because you sent that to me earlier in the week, so I didn't come up with a top 10. But, no, I don't have Patrick Mahomes in it. And that's no disparage to Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. I just got to look at – one of the biggest factors here for me is going to be longevity. And the reason I don't put Patrick in there – and, again, this is no disparage to him. I think he's great. I think he's fantastic. But if I – if you want to crown him, go ahead and crown him. But they all – we saw they were never did anything. I just think it will be disrespectful – to put him in the top 10 all time based on all the guys that have done it before him.
Yeah.
Now, do I think he will eventually get in the top 10? Yes. Do I think he could potentially be the best ever? Yes. I just can't put him there just based on the time he's served now. And I do think all that time is great. I have no negatives at all. I'm just saying based on all time, it's kind of like – When a rapper or R&B singer, rock and roll, whatever type of music you're into, they come out with a banger. And then you like, man, this group going to be around forever with bangers. And they be a one-hit wonder. You never hear from them again. Which doesn't make that song that they had wasn't great. I mean, same thing in sports. I mean, you got like, this guy is on my top 10. I'll get into a little later. But I'll give you an example. Dan Marino. Dan Marino lit the league on fire when he first came in. And you thinking, he's going to be, this. Never made it back to the Super Bowl. I mean, but and that's no disparage to him. The Super Bowl is really, really hard to get to, and Patrick Mahomes has already been to three. So I do think he's on the right path, headed towards greatness. But he's great now. But I, like I said, given all the guys that's done it before him, I can't put him in the top 10 right now. That's just the way I look at it.
Okay, good stuff. Before you get started, Drew, I'll give you a couple more minutes, or a minute, I should say. I ain't gonna take too long just to think about if you would put him in there or where you would put him at if you have a top 10. But yeah, I slid him in my top 10, man. I put him at 10. I had Roger Staubach at 10, and I could think honestly, I think that's a good move right now for me. But yeah, you mentioned you know there's some great ones ahead of him. I think he still has a lot of work to do, but I think based off of how he performed this past Sunday, especially with that leg injury, leading that team the way he led that team, didn't give up any sacks. That team didn't give up any sacks, and he had a lot to do with that. You know, a couple of runs that he had, especially that 20-plus run, a 20-plus yard run he had, and then the one that he had early in the third quarter or the second quarter as well. So I just slide him in my – I put him at 10, E. But I think he's going to be there for a while, for me. But I did put him at 10, and I replaced him – Roger Staubach with Patrick Mahomes. I think what he's done, I know it's a small sample size, but it's all about quality for me, not quantity. Anytime that, 5 years and you go to three Super Bowls in that 5 years and you win two of them, that's saying a lot to me, especially the way he did it. And two years ago when they lost to the Buccaneers, if they had a half decent line, offensive line, we may be talking about, possible three out of four years Super Bowl win. So I did slide him in my top 10. But what say you, Drew?
I think the answer to the question is yes, he's in my top 10. And I gave this a little bit of thought this afternoon of who my top 10 would be. And quite frankly, I have him almost in the middle of my top 10. So right around number five. I look back and say, Gale Sayers was a great running back, and he only played for 5 years.
Yeah.
Great
point. And so I look at the resume that he has over the first 5 years of his career. His first 5 years has been more productive than almost any other quarterback in NFL history. So I'm not going to put him at the top. So the top of my list would be Brady, and then followed by Montana. So he's not Brady or Montana yet.
But right.
I feel like he could very well be there. He could be that high over the next couple of years. So, but to, for what he has accomplished to this point, I think he's the middle of my top 10.
Okay. Great stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to put him there, but I don't know if I could put him there that high up, Drew, but that's your list. My list is my list. Your list is your list. And I respect your list for sure. But, yeah, you know, I just think, you know, there's a lot of body of work left to be done, and I think he's going to live up to that, to be honest, which as long as he can stay healthy. And we've seen the last, 5 weeks, however long it's been, he's been dealing with that high ankle sprain. But there's no quitting that guy for sure, man.
Fine.
Yeah, I believe so too.
I saw him get that tackle in the first half, and he limped off the field. I said he's fine.
Yeah,
and he looked fine in the fourth quarter, and he was running with no limp, no nothing. So I think he's just fine. So
here's my thing, K-Walk. I just think a lot of times, and again, I can't argue against nothing that you and Drew have said because it's all true, and the dude is fantastic. But I think yourself, me, sports fans in general, sometimes we become prisoner of the moment. I mean, he's the hottest thing in these streets right now, and it's because I'll give you a guy that we all thought was going to have a Hall of Fame career and was fantastic, and due to injury, but unforeseen injury, we didn't know. Vincent Edward Jackson, some people call him Bo. If you watch Bo play his first 5 years of the league, he was running his way literally to the Hall of Fame. And he didn't – it's not like his production dropped off or anything like that.
Right.
He just got injured in a fluke injury, and his career just went away. And I'm just saying, we don't know if something like that will happen to Patrick Mahomes. But to Drew's point, he may have done enough already, even if that happens, to get into the Hall of Fame. So with that being said, I'm going to run down my list real quick, just my top 10 that you asked me to get. At number 10, I have Troy Aikman. Now, I know there's a lot of reason to argue against Troy, because Troy had Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, Deion Sanders over there on the other side. So he had some greatness, and which is true, but I threw him a bone at 10. I like Troy. At number 9, I have the aforementioned Dan Marino. Dan Marino came into the league, lit it on fire, but never got back to, you know, what they thought it was going to be. Number 8, I have Brett Favre. I like Brett Favre, and I try to keep it just to football, but Brett out here stealing money from the welfare in Mississippi. I couldn't do it. I had to take the point. Number 7, I have Steve Young. Now, Drew said, Joe Montana, one of the best to ever do it. And I don't disagree with that. But you take Joe Montana out of that offense, you plug in Steve Young. The only difference, Joe threw from the right, Steve threw from the left. The team didn't make the beat. So that lets me know that it was a lot of team ball going on over there. But nevertheless, I have Steve Young there. Number 6, I have Drew Brees. Drew, I would have had higher on the list, but K-Walk, as you know, me and Drew fell out a few years ago because Drew did stuff. And I tried to give it to just football, but I had to punish him. And for one of the kudos I give Drew was a little dude. He was a little dude back then playing. I mean, they list him at 6'1". I'm 6'1". I know damn well I'm taller than Drew Brees. But Drew, a little dude back there standing on his tiptoes, so he was able to get it done. Number 5, I have Joe Montana. I took points off for Joe only because, like I said, he leaves and go to Kansas City. You put Steve Young in there. The only reason I didn't know it was Joe is because Steve threw from the other side. But they were still just as dominant. Ahead of him at number 4, I have John Elway. I have John Elway in there for two reasons, the drive and the helicopter. That alone gets him in. So that gets him in. Number three, I got Aaron. Was out here not doing ayahuasca and all this other nonsense. But before then, he was good. He only has one Super Bowl, but he's still pretty good. Number two, I have Peyton Manning. I really like Peyton. Peyton was really good. Unfortunately, he only won two Super Bowls. He won one Super Bowl, and then the team won one Super Bowl in spite of him because he sunk it up in that one endeavor. But still, he has two.
Right.
And then number one, of course, we got, you know, Thomas Bartholomew Brady. I mean, 10 trips, 7 rings. We could go on and on and on. This is accolades. But one of the most impressive things to me about Tom Brady, with the exception of Randy Moss, which he did not win a Super Bowl with, he never had a number one receiver. I mean, now Gronk was really good, but Gronk was tight end. He never had that guy. Like both Montana and Young had Jerry Rice. Drew Brees had, you know, a couple dudes. Everybody on the list pretty much had a guy. Like Troy Aikman had Mike Leverett. Tom Brady was out here doing it with little bitty dudes. I mean, Emmett Dola.
That was the system, though, too.
Edelman. Yeah, but I'm saying so. Mm-hmm. But I got to give him credit. But yeah, those are my top 10, K-Walk.
All right, that's not a bad. We got a lot of overlap there. I'll start with my top 10. I'll keep it brief. Like I stated earlier, I slid Patrick Holmes in at number 10 for everything I mentioned earlier. So, you know, he's just that guy that's just been doing it a lot in a short period of time. Number 9, I went with Warren Moon, man. I went with Warren Moon. I just think everything that he did, not just in the NFL, but in the CFL as well. And when he was with the Houston Oilers and he had those guys, man, you know, Givens and Duncan and those guys, man, he was putting up some serious numbers. So Warren Moon, I have 9. 8, I have Brady. I mean, not Brady. I have Brett Favre at 8 as well. I believe you had him at 8 as well, E. So I went with Brett Favre just for everything that he did, you know, when he was with the Packers. I mean, he had a decent career with the Vikings and the Jets as well. Number 7, I went with your guy, E. I went with Drew Brees. I just think that, you know, what he did for that team, that organization, that city, especially at the statue that you mentioned, you know, they visited him at 6'1". I'm looking at 5'11", 5'10", at best. Number 6, I went with John Elway. I just think everything that you mentioned, E, you know, the drive, the helicopter, and I love the way he went out, too. He won 2 Super Bowls, and he bowed out and said, I'm done. Number 5, I'm a big-time Dan Marino fan, so I went with Dan Marino. I know he didn't, you know, he went to 1 Super Bowl, didn't win that, but, his gunslinging mentality and his quick release and the numbers that he put up as well was very impressive to me. Number 4, I went with Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers, I just don't know what's going on with that organization. I think that organization kind of held Aaron Rodgers back from winning another Super Bowl, but just his body of work and his, you know, his arm, the way he's able to throw the ball, the ways he's able to move in that inside and outside of that pocket. I put him at 4. Number 3, I went with Peyton Manning. I believe you had him at 2E, but I went with Peyton Manning. I just think his IQ is probably the highest of all of these guys. No disrespect to slight any of the guys that I previously mentioned, and I'm going to mention. I think he has an outstanding IQ. His competitive nature is just off the charts. I don't know if you guys saw the flag football game at the Pro Bowl, but that guy really took that to another level. Number 2, I went with Joe Montana. I went with Joe Montana. I know you kind of knocked him for having having those guys, having Jerry Rice and being on a team, but you can't really fault him for that. His accuracy still had to be there. His competitiveness, especially in that Super Bowl against the Cincinnati Bengals, where he led them down, I believe it was less than a minute or so, less than 2 minutes, and then he hit John Taylor in the back of the end zone for that game-winning touchdown. Number 1, obviously, if you don't have this guy on your number one on your list, then you're just not a football fan or you're just a Tom Brady hater. But I went with Tom Brady for everything that you mentioned, E. His accolades, 7 Super Bowls. I mean, that just takes it out. that just puts it over the top for me with that guy. But Drew, I don't know if you have a top 10 or if you want to just.
I do have a top 10. And,
okay.
K-Walk, mine is somewhat similar to yours, but let mm-hmm. me start at number 10, and I'm going to throw a wild card in. I think Scott might like this, but my number 10 is going to be Doug Williams.
Oh.
Okay.
As I said, I'm a Washington fan, and I think he transcended the game with what he did, 35 years ago. So I'm going to start with number 10, Doug Williams. And he was a great quarterback with Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. He got very little credit for it. So I'm going to go with number 10, Doug Williams. Number 9, Steve Young. I think he was a great successor to Joe Montana. Plus, he had a good career in the USFL for the couple of years that he was there. Number 8, mm-hmm. Brett Favre. We've kind of addressed him already. Number 7, A-Rod, current Aaron Rodgers. It'll be interesting to see how his career ends, where he ends up, and how his career ends. But I think he's a all-time top 10. Number 6, Dan Marino. Great gunslinger, but mm-hmm. never won anything. And then, as I said earlier, I got Patrick Mahomes at number 5. I know that's a controversial pick, but I think with what he's done in the first 5 years, it's given him Hall of Fame numbers already. Number 4, Peyton Manning. Number 3, John Elway. Number 2, Joe Montana. And Mr. Brady at number 1.
Okay.
Definitely on the list.
Yeah. Very good list. Very good list. A lot of overlap, but, just in different orders. But I can't be mad at the Doug Williams pick, but, I felt like, I should have put him there over Warren Moon, but I think Warren Moon's body of work is just a little bit more. So, I had to throw the brother in there for sure. I had to have a brother in my top 10. Otherwise, it would.
I had to have more.
Yeah, right. I know Patrick Mahomes is there, but you know how that goes. But great list. Nonetheless, listen, man. I want to. We had a guy. We got someone holding. I'm not sure who's holding. I don't know if they want to chime in. But before we bring them in, I just have to ask you guys before we take our next break. I'll start with you on this one. Jalen Hurts, I know we're giving our rankings and everything. You don't have to give me a top 10 or where do you give where do you put him at as far as, where do you rank him at? Not just the NFC, NFC, but in the NFL, because I think it's easy to put him in the top 1 or 2 in the NFC. But what do you have him ranked on based off of his past season, his Super Bowl performance? I mean, he had an excellent, what he had accounted for, a total of four touchdowns. He had three rushing touchdowns, one passing touchdown, over 300 yards passing, over 70 yards rushing. But where do you put him at right now, E? Going into next season, where do you have him ranked at as far as do you have him in your top 1, 2? I know he has to be in top 5. I'm not sure though, but don't hold me to that. So, but what say you?
If I look at right now, all the guys who are hot in these streets right now, just in the current league, I'm gonna put Jalen at number 2, only behind Patrick Mahomes, and I think he was elevated there based on his performance on Sunday, because not that he had been playing bad, he'd been playing good all year, but he took his next level on Sunday. And now I know some guys will probably say, oh, well, there's Joe Burrow, there's Josh Allen, there's Herbert, there's Tua. To me, he outplayed all those dudes. I mean, I don't think we're going to see how good Joe Burrow can actually be until Cincinnati gets an offensive line or he leaves Cincinnati. One of those two things are going to have to happen, because Joe be back there running for his life, and he does play well through adversity, but I don't really know how good Joe is because of what he's got, what is asked of him. Josh Allen was the most improved player over a couple of seasons, but he's kind of, plateaued. Not that that's a bad thing, but I think we've seen we're going to get there. Justin Herbert, or the boy out there in L.A., San Diego, wherever you want to call it, to me, he's disappointing. He's not as good as, they thought that he was going to be. I do think Lamar has potential to be good, but Lamar's got to get healthy. Lamar's got to get a contract. Lamar got a whole bunch of other stuff going on. So
yeah,
I think that's most of the dudes that's hiding these streets right now. I've never been a big believer of Deshaun Watson, and this was even before the allegations. I think he's serviceable. I just don't think he's in that tier where these guys are. But I think Jalen Hurts is definitely in the same tier with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's a fumble away from winning the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, you can point to a lot of things that he didn't win the Super Bowl, but I truly think if he doesn't accidentally fumble, they get that scoop and score. I do think that they win that football game.
Okay. You know, I can't argue with you there. I don't know if I put him that high. This question was posed last night again on another show that I do. But I have him like round six, seven, because I do believe Mahomes is, you know, not, this is not in any particular order, but I will put Mahomes number one, let's just say that. But at these numbers, that are the names that I give you after this, there's no particular order. I mean, you mentioned Josh Allen. You mentioned Herbert. I like that. I like those guys there. Joe Burrow as well. Aaron Rodgers, I think you put him in, ahead of him. So that leaves him at, what, six. And there's an argument there as well for Lamar Jackson. You mentioned Lamar Jackson as well, E. So I'll put him around six or seven in the entire league, just based off of what he did this past season. So going into 2023 season, I'm going to say I have him at. I'll give him six because I just don't know what Lamar is going to do this past. I mean, based off of this past season and going into this, because Lamar has a new offensive coordinator coming in. So I'm going to say I'll put him at six. I'll put Jalen Hurts at six on my list. Again, no particular order before him other than Mahomes at one. You can shuffle the, you know, two through five, and then I'll put Hurts at six. But what say you, Drew?
I say Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the NFC.
Okay.
So that's number one in the NFC, and I say NFL as a whole, I have him at four, behind Mahomes, Burrow, and Josh Allen. But I have him ahead of Herbert. I need to see a lot more out of Herbert. I think he's got a lot of hype around him. His numbers, and I've just never really been a big Chargers fan, so we'll see what the Chargers can be next year. And I'm excited to see where Lamar Jackson ends up next year. And I think he'll be healthy and ready to go. So I have him at number six right now for next year.
Okay. All right. I can't argue with that. Again, it's your list. I can't argue with that. But we're going to see how it goes forward. Let's see here. We're going to grab our next break. When we come back, I want to talk about Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. Eric, again, as I mentioned earlier, Eric Bieniemy has an interview lined up tomorrow with the Washington Commanders for their offensive coordinator position. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that works out, why he wants to do that. Is it because he wants to get underneath away from Andy Reid's shadow? Definitely got to hear you guys' thoughts and opinions on that for sure. And we're going to try to get to to the NBA as well. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuning to Sports Talk with Kay Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.
Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com.
Hey, South Carolina. Greetings from music recording artist Marcus Allen. Our accountants at Javis Tax Service won the state's best tax office.
In the state.
They're open year-round to serve you from Columbia's only drive-through office. Give them a call, 803-419-1001.
That's 803-419-1001.
And we are back. And again, you are tuning to Sports Talk with Kay Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, before the break, we were talking Patrick Mahomes, where we had him ranked at, Jalen Hurts as well. What is still on the about? You know, where do you have these guys? Like, as far as Andy Reid, actually, I want to just go to let's skip Andy Reid. I think we pretty much said everything we had to say about Andy Reid. But I want to talk about Eric Bieniemy. And, you know, it's surprising to me anyway that he's – I know there was a lot of talk about him getting away from getting underneath Andy Reid's shadow if he wants to be really considered as to be a head coach in the NFL, because there's a lot of talk saying that it's Andy Reid, not Eric Bieniemy. Andy Reid did come out after the Super Bowl Sunday and said that that was all Eric Bieniemy, wasn't me. He had everything to do with the adjustments there. I don't know if that was just, you know, a selling tool for him or just to hype him up, to, you know, to get him a position. There was two head coaching positions vacancies that were left. Gannon from the Eagles wound up getting the Colts position. And then there was the Cardinals Cardinals that was open. I thought that he would slide into that and interview for that and get that spot. But then another Eagles coordinator slid in there, Shane, the office coordinator there got that position. But, E, what say you about Eric Bieniemy? I know we talked about this before, about him being an offensive coordinator. Now he's making a lateral move, if you will, from a, you know, as far as the title goes. But what say you about him interviewing with the Commanders tomorrow?
I think it's a good move for him. I mean, he's won two Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes. If he truly wants to get out of Andy Reid's shadow and be considered a head coach, yeah, he needs to show he can do it, you know, without Patrick Mahomes, without Andy Reid, which I think that he can. Now, one thing I do have a problem with, they give the job in Indy to the losing coordinator and the winning coordinator, but that's something for another day.
There you go.
But my thing, and I've said this all along, K-Walk, just because you're a great coordinator doesn't make you a good head coach. And I think maybe somebody has whispered that to Bieniemy and said, look, you tried for all these head coaching positions and you haven't gotten them. We don't know what's going on there. But, I mean, hey, get your money, but do what you're good at. Stay in your lane. Being a coordinator, you're great at it. Now, I do understand, you know, the prestige that comes along with the title of being a head coach. But obviously, if he's going to move over to the Commanders, they're probably going to pay him more. So, you know, get your money and continue to win and do what you're good at. But ultimately, if he wants to be a head coach, I do think he has to get out of the shadow of Andy Reid, because, you know, they credit Andy Reid with being one of the great offensive minds of all time. And which I agree, I think that he is. But even Andy Reid came out and said, hey, this was Bieniemy that did this.
Yeah.
So he needs to show that he can do it, because, like, I can't even tell you who the current quarterback is and with the Commanders. So if he can go over there and make some things happen, that definitely is going to, you know, highlight his resume, if you will. And, you know, working with, what's your boy's name, Ron Rivera, head coach over there.
Ron Rivera.
Working with River One, who loves to go for it on fourth and one from his own 5-yard line. I mean, you know, so he needs some help. And I think Bieniemy is the guy to go in there and get that done for him. And, you know, I just think this is a good move for him. I mean, he has nothing left to prove in Kansas City. He's been to three Super Bowls. He's won two. Now, some people might say, hey, well, why don't he just stick that out? Well, obviously the brother doesn't want to be complacent. He wants to do other things. And you know, I applaud him.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Commanders quarterback, I mean, you talk about Carson Wentz, you talk about Taylor Heineke, Sam Howell, the young guy there from North Carolina. Those are the guys that that played. They all played this year in some capacity. So it's going to be interesting to see how they have a really good defense over there. That defensive line led by Chase Young, who's coming off of that knee injury. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I think if he interviews it, he gets it. I just think it's a no-brainer. And now who they bring in for him to work with, because I don't think any of those previous mentioned quarterbacks are going to get it done. Even I don't care how great that defense is over there. I think Jack Del Rio, he does a great job there. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who they bring in. I think he gets it. If he's going to walk through that door, I think it's his job if he decides to accept it. So it's going to be interesting to see. I agree with you. He definitely has to get out of Andy Reid's shadow. I just thought that it would be kind of like one of those Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick type deals. I really thought that Josh McDaniels was going to be the new head coach there once Belichick retired. I thought this was a similar situation, but Andy Reid's come out and said, "Listen, I'm not retiring. I'm not going anywhere." But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who they bring in. I mean, the Commanders as a quarterback. There's some guys out there, Jimmy Garoppolo. There are Carrs out there. Just to name a couple of guys that I all, off the top of my head. But Drew, what say you? I believe you said you are a Washington guy. You're probably more dialed in than we are.
I am a lifelong Washington fan.
Give us your thoughts.
I'd like to see him come, but frankly, I don't think that he should. I think where he is, he knows what he has in Kansas City. He's under the shadow, and Andy Reid casts a large shadow. He's in that shadow, but he's got a chance to win another Super Bowl next year. And Andy Reid's not going to be there forever. Andy Reid's 64 years old, so he might do one more year. So, I mean, if he could hang out for another year, work his magic as the OC for another year, who knows? Maybe he'll get the opportunity next year. But I think, frankly, I think for him to leave for a lateral move is borderline humiliating for him.
I agree.
He's one of the best OCs in football. For him to leave for a lateral move is almost disrespectful, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I just think that he's trying to prove how good he is, and like E mentioned, if he can, it's kind of like you move to New York and then you're successful in New York. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. It's kind of like if you succeed in Washington, with those quarterbacks that we mentioned, you can make it anywhere, and he can write his own ticket to go anywhere else. Because we all know every year at least 2, 3, 4. Positions are going to open up as a head coach. But, yeah, it's going to be, like I stated earlier, it's going to be interesting to see what quarterback they bring in. Because Eric Bieniemy is.
And if he has what is perceived to be the charisma to be a head coach, because I feel like he's been passed up here the last couple of years for almost every opportunity, and there's got to be some other reason behind that. So
yeah.
I don't know that going to Washington to be an offensive coordinator is going to help his position any. I think they with the winner.
Yeah, I agree with that, Drew, for sure. I definitely agree with that. But I just think that, there is a knock on him. They're saying he's not a great interview. From what I've heard was that he's not a great interview. He doesn't give off that head coaching. He doesn't have that personality of being a head coach. I don't know what that means as far as a personality, or maybe they're talking about his intelligence. I don't know. I don't know what that actually means, and I don't want to speculate neither. But I think they're saying it's more Andy Reid than it is Eric Bieniemy. And I think what Andy Reid did after the game on Sunday was say, listen, this is all Eric Bieniemy. So just giving him, that endorsement, if you will. So listen, this is all this guy. That guy did everything. He put everything in it. what I say is don't spit on my back and tell me it's raining because I know the truth. I know, and I kept that clean, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, I don't believe that. I really believe that he loves Eric Bieniemy. He wants Eric Bieniemy to be his own guy, and that's what I believe it's going to be. I think he gets the job. Let's see how it performs. You know, and it's kind of one of those things like, you know, you're betting on yourself. So I think Eric Bieniemy is going to bet on himself, and let's see what happens here. But I definitely think he gets the job if he wants. I just can't see him walking out of that building without an offer, for sure. All right, guys. real quick. All right. All right. Let's bring in our good buddy Mike. I know Mike is holding. I know he wants to chime in on the Eric Bieniemy situation. So let's open up your mic. Mike, how you doing this evening, brother? And thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Hey,
doing
what up, tonight? Mike?
Doing well.
I enjoyed all of your topics. FYI, got Gail Sayers played 7 years. But
okay.
You did hold it for a minute.
Yeah,
My bad. A while ago.
Yeah. But if I was Eric Bieniemy, and you got a message before Andy Reid had him. Andy Reid had a little success, but remember he went to how many NFC championships could not get over the hump. He went to the Super Bowl and lost. So it wasn't until he got EB, and then EB and him, or whatever, you know, came together, and therefore, you know, they have the storm that they have now. If I was EB, I would hold on. Good things come to those who wait. I would team up with Eric. I would team up with who y'all have, Patrick Mahomes, because just like the guy said previously that Andy's not going to be there no more than 2 more years. I would stay there, get me a great deep.
I'm sorry, did we lose him?
I don't know. I don't hear anything. I think we lost him.
Well, he's still on.
Y'all can't hear me?
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Okay, we good. There you go. Yeah, we can hear you now. Yes, Steph. Yes.
I would stay at Kansas City, get me a great defensive, older defensive coordinator. And you know, as a head coach, you're only good as your quarterback. And I will ride out with Patrick Mahomes for, let's say, Andy Reid retired in 2 years. Patrick Mahomes will be 29. He can play like this all the way to 37. He can get you at least three Super Bowls right there at Kansas City. I would not go anywhere. I would not. I would stay there and hold out or whatever because, you know, they have to give him the ring when Andy leaves. So that's all I want. That's all I wanted to say, guys.
All right, Mike. All right. Now, here's the thing, Mike and K-Walk Drew. I agree with the sentiment, like Drew said and both Mike said, ride it out until Reid retires. But Kansas City hasn't said Reid is the heir apparent. So we don't know. And if Reid is – because I'm sure Reid has thought the same things you guys have said. Hey, if I stay here in 2 years, I can be the head coach. So if he's willing to interview, like you said, K-Walk, for a lateral move someplace else, then that may not necessarily be the sentiment in Kansas City that the job is his when Andy Reid does, you know, ride off into the sunset. I'm just putting it out there. I don't know, but I'm just saying that is possible.
Well, I would say, this is me talking, I would say because you don't know who's the quarterback you're getting. You know that Kansas City, if we don't know if he's going to get it, but I'm pretty sure that he, you know, would be, let's say the players would vouch for him. And if Pat Mahomes goes in there and be like, hey, this is my guy, you know they're going to give it to him or whatever. Then, you know, you have, let's say in 2 years, Patrick Mahomes wins another MVP. You have a three-time MVP. Let's say if you win another Super Bowl, three-time MVP, three-time Super Bowl winning quarterback there with you, I would ride out in the sun with him or whatever and then continue win, at least win me at least three Super Bowls with that guy and be the all-time winningest black coach, you know, in the NFL or whatever, right there with him. With all the rings. I'm talking about with all the rings. He can get 3 rings with Patrick Mahomes. But I would not leave because I don't know who I'm seeing as a quarterback. They're over in Washington. I just won. But I know what I have there and Patrick Mahomes. I know what I have there. So, you know, it may suck now because he's been going through, you know, everybody's been passing him over, you know, and all this type of stuff or whatever. But I believe that if he hold tight And if Patrick Mahomes could go in and say, this is my guy, I want this guy. We know how to call plays, you know, whatever. I'm pretty sure Kansas City will hire him and keep him there and really keep him there. So that's my two cents on it.
All right, great stuff there, Mike. Appreciate that, brother, for sure, man, for sure. And that's pretty. That's a good segue too, because we mentioned that we don't know what Washington's going to bring in as far as a quarterback. I don't believe they're going to go with any of these two guys. I know Taylor Heinicke. You know, he has all the intangibles. You know, he does the things that the big time games. I mean, the big time quarterbacks don't do. You know, they just get the guys hyped up. He does the little things, but that can only take you so far. So with that being said, I want to talk about Derek Carr. Derek Carr is out there. He asked for his release from the Raiders. He informed the Raiders that he did not he was not going to accept a trade. After visiting with the Saints, mind you. So with that being said, right now he's free to go. They released him yesterday before they were on the hook for, I believe it was $40.4 million roster bonus if they kept him after, I believe, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard or 4 p.m. Can't recall exactly the exact time. But nonetheless, Derek Carr is out there. He's free to go to wherever he wants to go. He went to the Saints, visited with them, went back to Las Vegas and said, listen, Mark Davis, I don't want to, I'm not going to go anywhere. You release me. I'm not accepting any trades. What did you take out of the Saints fan, E? What did you take out of that? And what did you take out of that? And two, how do you feel about Derek Carr being under the helm for that Who Dat Nation?
Well, I didn't want Derek Carr, first and foremost. I was against it. I didn't want us to go get him. I don't think he's much better than Andy Dalton. And as far as him coming to the NOLA and then Bill and I saying he don't want to be there, staff, record label, and a crew. We don't want him. If you don't want to be here, we don't want you. I don't like you no way. I don't think you're a good quarterback. I think you're borderline trash. And, yeah, if you don't want to be a NOLA, then don't come. If you ain't ever been to the NOLA, don't ever come to the NOLA because you wouldn't understand the NOLA. So stay out of the NOLA. That's trash, not by nature. So, yeah, I don't want him. Let him get on quick. Yeah.
All right, I took it a different way. I guess I didn't take it that way. I guess if you look at it that way, you flip it that way. That's a good way to look at it. I thought that he wanted to be there, I thought he wanted to be there and say, listen, I don't want to go anywhere else. So therefore, don't try to trade me somewhere else because I want to be in New Orleans. So I'm not going to accept any trades. That's how I took it.
That's how I took it too. I thought he visited and that determined that's where he wanted to be. And that therefore said, I don't want to be a free agent or I don't want to be traded somewhere I don't want to go. So let me go work my own deal with the Saints. So that's the way I took it.
take it that way, because he has a no trade clause. So if they were to try to trade him anywhere other than the Saints, then he could have said no, I don't want it. He could have came back and said, okay, I visited with the Saints. I'm picking up what they putting down. Trade me to New Orleans, but that's not what he said. He came back from New Orleans. He left Louis Armstrong International, flew into wherever you fly to in Vegas. What is it, McCarran? He left Louis Armstrong International, flew into McCarran because I'm sure he wasn't on a private jet. So he flew public commercial.
It's Terry Reed now.
Okay, well, it used to be McCarran. You know what I'm talking about. And then he goes, yeah, dog, I just left Bourbon, and they finna have that Mardi Gras down there. I don't want to be down there. I had some king cake, and I didn't like it. So, yeah, don't trade me down there. And, you know, we're saying we don't want you no way. Yeah, get on. Because if that's the case, what you guys are saying, he could have handled it very differently.
Yeah, I agree. He could have controlled the narrative. He definitely did because, like you mentioned, he has a no trade clause. So, yeah, I don't know why I took it down. I mean, I still think that's what it is. Maybe he wanted to, you know, be that guy and say, listen, I'm going to go where I want to go, and I don't want the Raiders to get anything back for me. You know, and I'm going where I want to go, and you guys aren't getting anything, you know, in return. So maybe that's how I was looking at it. Maybe he's just trying to despite the Raiders even more. For sure. So that's how I took it. I think he might be that guy for you, but if you don't see him there, where else can you see him possibly going? There's rumors out there. The Jets are rumored out there as well. I just can't see him being with the Jets over the Saints. I mean, granted, the Jets had a little bit more of a successful season than the Saints, but I think the Saints right now they're a little bit more attractive, especially the receivers go. I know that the Jets have with the young kid Garrison there, but the Saints on offense they look a little bit more attractive to me there for sure. But what say you about Derek Carr and his possible landing spots if it's not New Orleans?
Well, as we've looked before, there are only a few teams with openings. Most teams mm-hmm. got their guy. So New Orleans has an opening. Drew, your Commanders, they definitely got an opening because I don't know who y'all going to send out over there. the Jets have an opening. And depending on what Aaron does, Green Bay may have an opening. Because if right. Green Bay replaces Carr, In the Raiders, because, you know, he, like I said, he on one of these ayahuasca trips. He's supposed to know after 4 days of darkness what he going to do. Me, personally, I think Aaron is going to stay in Green Bay because he got 60 million reasons, too, to do
right.
that. I just think he's going to take the money and run. But anyway, so if you look around the league, most teams have their guy. So there's only a few openings for him. The Raiders, which they just fired him, so obviously it's not there. He just turned down the Saints. So that leaves the Jets and the Commanders that I can think of off the top of my head.
No.
Who else?
Houston Texans? Houston Texans?
I forgot they had a franchise over there. So, if he turned down the Saints, unless it you got to turn down to Texas if you don't want to go to New Orleans. So you're right. So you got the Commanders, you got the Jets, Raiders, Saints, Texans. There's a couple of other teams.
Tampa's up there. Tampa's in there. Yeah.
You got teams.
Tampa's another one.
Carolina, yeah.
Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. There's a few out there.
Okay, I guess that's more than I thought. But you got a couple of teams out there who think they got their guy and need a quarterback and don't. But since he want to show his behind and say he won't accept the trade in New Orleans, I don't really care where he go. I hope he retires.
Okay. All right, good stuff. Drew, what say you to possibly? We mentioned all the teams, but what do you see the best fit for Derek Carr to be?
You know, part of me would like to see him potentially go to Washington, but I don't know that he's the best fit of who's out there. We'll have to kind of see how it shakes out. But I think the Saints would be a good place for him to go. You know, he's been playing in the Dome the last couple of years, a few more years in the Dome. I think with a good offensive line, I think he could do well there. I think somebody like the Texans, they need help. And you know, they got a scrappy young team, and he could help them as well. So I don't foresee him going to Tampa or any place like that, or New York.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, and I guess you could look at it both ways. You know, E and Drew and our listeners, as far as Derek Carr and when he left in New Orleans to visit with New Orleans, and you know, you could take it either way. You could take it either way. I mean, both. Both cases has been made or have been made in regards to, you know, he took it differently. And Drew and I took it, you know, differently as well. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where he goes. Right now he's free to go wherever he wants to go. So it's up to him. He has his reason. I think he has an eye or as far as, you know, where he wants to go, where he wants to land. He hasn't visited anyone but the Saints. So let's see how it plays out. Long off season for sure. He doesn't have to make a decision anytime soon. All right. So what we're going to do, guys, is we're going to we're up against the clock here. So we're going to just take a quick just a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to get into our Hollywood swinging segment. I'll turn that over to E, and I know you guys left an E there as well. So we'll turn that we'll dive into that for sure. E, it was a tough one for me, man, when you presented that, but presented to everyone else, and then we'll definitely have some fun with that, and then we'll get into your segment at the end as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, you are tuned to Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. I'll be right back.
What's up, guys? This is Kenny B. Winning from Gobo, Go Black Owned on Facebook and Instagram. You are listening to Sports Talk with my dudes, Kay Walker, Eric Scott, and they'll be right back.
Guys, welcome back. Welcome back to Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, a new segment that we're introducing two weeks ago. We want to stay on this one right now. Got to introduce it to fill in some spots. Football season is over right now, so we're going to have a little bit more fun with the show for sure. So with that being said, E, I know you got a good one that you presented. So I'll let you take that away.
If y'all think, I'm speaking to the audience, if y'all think we're not giving y'all enough sports now, wait till basketball season is over. Because that stretch between the end of basketball season and the start of football season, hey, man, it's hard to fill 2 hours. So y'all got to just do a little more nonsense. I'm just forewarning you. So is Drew still on? Because I know you have Drew still on.
Yes.
I'll start with you, K-Walk.
Yeah,
so
I'm here.
Drew, give you a few minutes to think about it because K-Walk has had it, you know, for a few days now. What we got here, I'm going to give you 6 actors. One of them has to go. And by losing him, he has to go and you lose all his work. Any of his movies, any of his music, any of his comedy, anything that he's done. So the 6 actors I got for you, keep in mind, Drew, one of them got to go forever and we lose all their work. I got Denzel Washington. I got Morgan Freeman. I got Samuel Jackson. I got Eddie Murphy. I got Will Smith. And I got Lawrence Fishburne. Drew, you got a minute to think about it. K-Walk, who did you get rid of?
Yeah, man, this is a toss up to me, man. You know what, man? This is a tough one, E. But wow, all of his work, huh? All right, E. I won't go. It's gonna be tough, and don't please, ladies and gentlemen, don't hit me up. Don't condemn me. This is tough for me. But I'm gonna say Lawrence Fishburne's got to go, man. Lawrence Fishburne's got to go, and I know we're getting what Love got to do with it, Boys in the Hood.
Cornbread, Earl, and me.
Yeah.
What's love got to do with it?
That's what I said. What's love got to do with it? I know we lose
boys in the hood.
That's what I said. Yeah.
The late great John Singleton, yo, Newt. I mean that.
I know it's rough, Ian. That's why I said don't condemn me for this because this is a tough one. But I think his body of work, I remember him in school days. Obviously, Boys in the Hood. I mentioned What's Love Got to Do with It, and there's some other stuff there as well. But I think everyone else has a bigger body of work for sure. So that's why I said Lawrence Fishburne's got to go for me. Tough, ladies and gentlemen, for sure, though.
Okay, Drew, I'm gonna come to you.
Blackie?
We got Denzel Washington, we got Morgan Freeman, we got Samuel L. Jackson, Eddie Murphy, Will Smith, and Lawrence Fishburne. One of them got to go, and all their work.
I'm sorry, but this is kind of an easy decision to me.
Okay.
You know, we're never going to drop a Morehouse, man. So Samuel L. Jackson will stay.
I'm going to
drop
you.
Will Smith.
Drew went to the house, Morehouse. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
So I'm gonna drop Will Smith because of recent behavior.
But we lose hits like Summertime. We lose The Fresh Prince of Bel Air. We lose Bad Boys.
The series, man.
Notwithstanding, I have a hard time supporting him after what he did last year.
I didn't even take that into consideration. But he was the one that I thought of that it was between Lawrence Fishburne and Will Smith. But then I thought about it, I was like, you know, what did Lawrence really give me or give us? I should say me. But other than those movies that we previously mentioned, I just think Will Smith's body work is way bigger, in my opinion.
I agree that his body of work is larger, but Boys in the Hood to me was an iconic movie of its day, and to me, still one of the best top five movies, I think, on my top five list. And there's nothing that Will Smith has done. That's top five to me. iRobot.
Ali. I mean, he won an Oscar for King Richard.
That's not top five.
Yeah. But King Richard, I'm looking at that. I'm at Summertime, like you mentioned. That was me growing up. And just Fresh Prince of Bel-Air alone, Monday nights, I was locked in. There's nothing you can say or do to me that's going to distract me from watching that. So I could put that up there, kind of.
I forgot about King Richard. That was a good performance too. But I guess that was the Oscars where we had an issue. But
exactly.
Now, for me, it was a tough one too. I mean, because all of these guys are great in their own right. I said I would get rid of Morgan Freeman because Shawshank was great. I mean, Shawshank was fantastic. But
another top five movie.
Other than Shawshank, I can't really think of a banger. I mean, what, we going to go to Driving Miss Daisy? I mean, he has some good movies, but Shawshank is really, to me, his only banger.
Okay.
So I decided to get rid of Bruce Almighty. He played God and Batman. He played the dude that made the toys. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, it like you guys said, it was
Lean
very,
on Me.
Very,
you can't give him Lean on Me. Lean on Me.
Lean on Me was a banger. I didn't think about that one.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular opinion, I'm the ace.
I'm the ace.
That's what Benson told Morgan Freeman.
Right. They used to call me Crazy Joe. Now they call me
Batman. So, like, obviously, we can't get rid of Denzel. I mean, that's just American Gangster, Training Day.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on. Sam, like Drew said, Sam went to the house. We can't get rid of Sam, and he's one of the greatest curses of all time.
Yeah. Eddie does three movies a year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and they're all fun effects.
Eddie, we got Raw, we got Delirious, two of the greatest comedy specials ever. We can't get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Trading Places. We got
Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh my God. Yeah, we can't get rid of them. We get the Will. We got Will. We got Summertime. We got Here It Is, Slightly Transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm. We got Summertime. We got Bad Boys. And then, like Drew said, Boys in the Hood, one of the greatest movies ever. So we got we got Cornbread, Earl and Me. We got What's Love Got to Do with It. We got
School Days.
Drew and them threw him off the campus of Morehouse. Spike had to go record over at nearby Morris Brown, but that's neither here nor there. So, yeah,
right.
I can't really disagree with any of the choices that you guys have made.
Right.
You can make an argument pro or con
for
any
of
them.
Yeah.
So, to recap, K-Walk got rid of Lawrence Fishburne. Drew said it was easy for him. He told Will, get on. And for me, it was Morgan Freeman. But feel free to slide in our mentions, ladies and gentlemen, and tell us what y'all think. I got a couple of texts, and then they all want to roll Will Smith up out of here, pretty much for the same reason Drew said. But
yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Special K.
Okay. Yeah, he is. His mic is open. Yes,
hey, what's up,
brother?
What we doing right now? I'm gonna give you six actors. I don't know how much you heard. And real quick, you got to get rid of one of them, and all of their work goes with them too. I know you're on the fly and didn't have much time to think about it, but you're a pretty smart dude. You think quick on your feet.
I
give you Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, Samuel L. Jackson, Eddie Murphy, Will Smith, Lawrence Fishburne. One of them got to go, and with him going, we lose all their bodies of work.
Well, we got Fish in there. We got Will in there. Didn't you say Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, Morgan Freeman, Sam Jackson, Eddie Murphy, Will Smith.
Ain't Morgan Freeman 180?
179.
Yeah.
That man ain't aged in 50 years, man. I think he's been old since the 80s.
he drove Miss Daisy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Morgan Freeman got classic work though.
Shawshank.
It's Shawshank. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing I'm. Got me holding on to Morgan Freeman, man. I'm really leaning. Will got to go, man.
I can't argue with that.
So, you never going to listen to it. You should have seen the people dancing.
Man, come on.
My parents just don't understand. Girls of the world are in trouble.
We all right. The only thing I might be a little hurt by is Summertime, right. but everything else, man, we all right. Yeah, we good. Yeah.
All right, I said, ladies and gentlemen, we gave you our opinions. Feel free to jump in our mentions. But like I said, all the text I done got is supporting Rolling Wheel about the paint. So, K-Walk, well, back to you.
Yeah, good stuff, man. I can't argue with that because that was actually my, it was either Lawrence Fishburne or Will Smith for me. But the more I thought about it, as I grew up, I was a Will Smith guy. I tried to emulate my stuff after Will Smith. I was young back then, so good stuff there nonetheless. All right, guys, what we're going to do, let's jump over to our next segment here. I mean, we segue a great win, and that's E. Scott Entertainment segment. So we're going to just take a quick break here, and then we're going to introduce that segment, and we're going to turn it over to Mr. E. Scott. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned into Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Be right back.
How you do that there? How you do that death, New Orleans, Baton Rouge? How you do that death, Lafayette, St. Charles? How you do that death, Shreveport, Mississippi? How you do that death, Alabama, Atlanta? How you do that death, Florida, Arkansas? How you do that death?
Say who that? Say they want to do that. Run up with you with.
Hey guys, well, what I got for you tonight? I have random trivia. I mean, there's no rhyme, no reason. It's probably not going to make sense to you. It's all over the place. I got 20 of them on the board, as usual. I got 3 data doubles. Drew, this is your first time playing. So basically what you do is, when it comes to you, you'll give me a number. I'll read you a question. You'll give me an answer. Each question is worth 5 points. Daily double, you can risk however much you want. Like, even if you only have 5 or you're in the net, you can risk up to 10, but it'll make sense as we go along. K-Walk, we're going to start with you tonight. General trivia. I got 1 through 20 on the board. Give me a number.
Oh, Lord, I hate these, man. I never do well with these. Give me number one.
Number one, where would you find a head gasket?
A head gasket? That would be in a car, on a car, underneath in the engine. I don't know where. Head gasket in the car. Final answer?
That is correct. A head gasket is fine on a car engine. Drew, you on the phone next. Give me a number, 1 through 20.
13.
That's Special K. Still
Special
K. No,
rubber, right?
Drew, number 13, Drew. What is the tallest mountain in the world?
Ooh. Everest.
Final answer?
Final answer.
That is correct. Mount Everest. Look at that Morehouse education. Special K, give me a number. My line brother took your number.
Hey, man, I quit, man. It ain't going to go well for me. You know? Give me 11, man. Hey, man, watch out, man.
Number 11, who lives next door to the Simpsons?
Oh, man, why would you ask me that? I don't watch the Simpsons. The judge. Final answer.
I don't even know who that is, but that's all kind of wrong. K-Walk, now who rolls over to you? Who lives next door to the Simpsons?
I don't even know, bro. Simpson. I don't know, bro. Was it the black? I don't know, bro. I don't know. So I'm going to say Cleveland. I don't know. Final answer.
Now that's family, yeah. Drew.
Yeah,
you know,
I didn't know.
Who lives next door to the Simpsons?
Wasn't there a Bob next door? Is that it?
Final answer.
Sure. That's a guess.
That too is incorrect. It's Flanders. Y'all know Flanders with that big 74 Mustang.
Y'all know that.
K-Walk, we owe you.
All right, give me number 20.
number 20. Who is the Jedi Master that trained Luke Skywalker?
Let me back up. This is like a trick question. Yoda, final answer. I was going to say Obi-Wan. Final answer, Yoda.
That is incorrect. Drew, it rolls over to you. Who is the Jedi Master to train Luke Skywalker?
I have no idea. Darth Vader.
Well, that was his father. K-Walk actually gave you the answer.
Yeah, I did. Dang.
Special K, who is the Jedi Master to train Luke Skywalker?
Yoda?
No, that's what K-Walk said. It was wrong when he said it. It's still wrong when you said it.
Maybe it's the way he said it.
What he said under his
Master
breath
Yoda.
What he said under his breath was Obi-Wan Kenobi, which
Obi-Wan,
is the correct answer.
You know what? And
Obi-Wan.
I knew that.
Yeah, I know. As soon as
you
said, God,
you said Yoda. And K-Walk said Yoda. You thought he did Jay? I mean, okay. Drew.
Well, I meant Master Yoda.
Drew, give me a number.
One.
Number one.
I took that one.
No, number one is gone.
All right, six.
Number six. What is added to a car's AC to make it blow colder?
Are you serious?
Freon.
Final answer?
Yeah.
That is correct. Freon is the correct answer. Special K, we on you.
Man, y'all got this new dude on here, man. You giving him all the easy answers and getting my
number.
He's picking the numbers.
Let me get
number 10.
Number 10. That's actually his line number. Number 10. How many toes does a cat have?
Hell, I don't know. Eight. Final answer.
That is incorrect. K-Walk, it rolls over to you.
You was on the right. I believe they have 18. Final answer?
That is 18. Is 18 is correct. That is the correct answer. K-Walk, where are you?
All right, give me number four.
Number four. What is the process called when you tattoo semi-permanent eyebrows on? What's that called?
Braiding? I don't know. Final answer, something like that. Braiding? Final answer. I don't know.
I'm looking at the
staff. I know it. Can I give another answer?
Say it one more time. Yeah, you have to say final answer. So yeah, go ahead.
All right, sewing. Final answer.
Drew, I know what I meant to say.
That's not what
it
I meant
rolls
to
over
say.
To you, Drew. What is the process called when you tattoo semi-permanent eyebrows on?
I have no idea.
I know it now.
Special K, do you know? That's your girl.
She's not present. She actually has it now. Oh no, not the eyebrows. She got the permanent eyeliner. But anyway, I don't know. Tattooing?
No. Is that okay? Well, do you know now?
Is it stitching?
No, it's actually microblading. That's what it's called.
Okay.
All right. Drew, we on you.
19.
Number 19, daily double. Drew, right now you have 10 points. K-Walk has 10 points. Special K don't have any. You can risk up to the whole 10, or you can only do 5, whichever you prefer. How many would you like to risk? And this one doesn't roll over to anyone else. Only you can answer it.
Do I get to know what the subject is?
Yeah, of course.
No,
not beforehand. Not beforehand.
All right.
Not before you make the bet.
Let's risk all 10.
Okay, for all 10. Look at Drew all in.
All right.
What president gave the Gettysburg Address?
Oh, really?
Abraham Lincoln.
That is correct. 67 years ago. That is correct for 10 points. Special K, we own you. Two daily doubles still out there.
Let me get 12.
Number 12. What's the only holiday celebrated in all countries?
Christmas. Final answer?
That is incorrect.
No,
What did he say?
I said no.
Oh, you said no to final answer. Okay, my bad. Well, we still on. You know, not final answer.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Only holiday celebrated in all countries. I'm going to have to go with New Year's. Final answer.
That is correct. New Year's Day is celebrated in all countries. There's a lot of countries don't celebrate Christmas, okay? But you redeemed
yourself.
Yeah,
I backed up on that.
Yeah.
I didn't hear what he said.
All right.
Give me number 8.
Number eight. What chemical is used to remove acrylic fingernails?
Really? I don't know. bro.
There's something in your bathroom right now.
All right, it's alcohol, final answer.
Drew, do you know?
Okay, I guess not.
Yeah, let me get that.
No, this Drew is for Drew. Drew, do you know?
I know.
Polish remover.
I need you to be the staff is saying we need you to be more specific.
That's as specific as I can be.
Special K, do you know?
Turpentine. Final answer.
Turpentine.
No, that is wrong. The correct answer is acetone. Acetone is the correct answer.
That one too.
He said turpentine.
He also
got that in your
said Yoda after you said Yoda. Yeah, you got turpentine in your bathroom. What's going on over there? Drew, where are you?
What's left?
Okay, we got 2, 3, 5, 7, 9, 14,
15, 16, 17, 18. All right, let's go number 9.
Number 9, daily double. Drew, no, you have 20. K Walker has 10. Special K has 5. You can risk up to all 20 or any variation below.
Let's go 10.
Okay, for 10 points, how many keys are on a standard piano?
88.
Final answer?
Yes.
Drew, you must be a musician because that is correct.
I knew that
and
was
you said it with no hesitation. Yes, that is correct. Special K, we owe you. Drew is off to a commanding lead.
Seriously.
I know y'all not gonna let a new dude beat y'all.
Let me get number 7, man.
Number 7. What amendment gave women the right to vote?
Final answer?
That is incorrect. K Walk.
18, final answer.
Incorrect. Drew.
Ooh, what?
What amendment gave women the right to vote?
Oh, wow.
12.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Also incorrect. It was the 19th Amendment that gave women the 19th. Right to vote. You were close, K-Walt, but it was number 19.
Yeah,
K-Walt, we owe you.
Let me see. 17.
Let's see, 17. What is the world's largest island?
Is that Hawaii? Is that Iceland? Greenland, final answer, I believe.
That is correct. Greenland is the correct answer. That is great. Drew, it's all you. We got 2, 3, 5... 14, 15, 16, 18. Number two. What would I use cuticle cream on?
Nails. Fingernails, toenails.
That is correct.
That's like that makes sense.
That is correct. That's okay. We owe you.
Let me get fish grease, man.
Number five. Yeah. What temperature does water boil? I can tell you right now, I don't know Celsius, so I need it in Fahrenheit.
I don't know, but I'm going to go with 180.
That is incorrect. K-Walk, it rolls over to you.
Is it 212?
I don't know. Is it?
You said you needed
it.
I'm sorry, my bad. Yeah, 212 degrees, final answer. That's the only thing
that is correct. 212 degrees Fahrenheit, that is correct. Carol, we actually owe you.
Give me number, 18. I know you like those high numbers from Daily Double.
Let's see, number 18.
Who painted the Mona Lisa?
Mona Lisa. Da Vinci. Final answer. Whew.
That is correct. Also, one of the Ninja Turtles, Leonardo. That is correct. Drew, we on you. I'll tell you what we got left. We got three. We've got 14, 15, 16.
Let's go 14.
14. Daily Devil. Drew, you have 10, 20, 30, 35. K-Walk has 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Special K has 5. How many would you like to risk?
15,
Drew,
we'll go
15.
Just 5.
Just 5? Okay. For 5 points, what is the world's largest city? What is the largest city in the world?
I know this.
Tokyo.
Final answer? Final. That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Tokyo is the largest city. Yep. Okay. So, Scott, what did you think it was?
You said the world or the United? My bad. You said the world.
Yeah.
I was thinking U.S.
Oh, that's Jacksonville, Florida.
Absolutely.
Duval. So, okay, we owe you.
Man, just give me one of them. Ain't no Daily Double. Just.
We got 3. 15, 16. Number 3. What is normal gestation time for a woman?
I don't even know what gestation is. Like, what?
Normal gestation time.
Normal gestation.
What is gestation?
Okay.
Hey, we need to ask the crowd.
Country of origin.
Well, the staff knows what a gestation is. What you got?
2 weeks.
Rolls over to you, K-Walk.
I was thinking the same thing, but I'm gonna go 1 week. I don't even know what it is. Follow this. 1 week. Follow this.
Drew, it rolls over to you.
36 weeks, 9 months.
That is correct. Look at that Morehouse education. Gestation.
What
is that? He said 9 months. That's the pregnancy term for a woman. It's called the gestation period.
Time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, all right. Well, all right. Give me number. Is 5 there?
I almost hung up my phone, man.
five. I got 5 as being gone. I got 15 and 16.
Oh. Well, I have 15 being gone.
No, 15 is still there. So when
I thought
he said fish grease, he meant 5.
Oh, okay. So then, all right, then give me 15.
Okay. What is the official language of Brazil? What language do they speak in Brazil?
Portuguese? Spanish? I think it's Portuguese. Portuguese, final answer.
That is correct. They do speak Portuguese in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Last question, Morehouse Man. How many great lakes are there? Huh?
7.
Number 16. How many great lakes are there?
7.
He just said it.
Oh, well, that's incorrect.
Final answer. That's finally
wrong. It rolls over to Special K. How many great lakes are there?
5?
Well, I thought it was.
Final answer?
Final answer.
That is correct. The acronym for the Great Lakes is HOMES. Your Great Lakes are Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior. Spells out HOMES.
Oh, that makes sense.
Special K has 10. K-Walk has 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Drew has 10, 20, 30, 40, 45. A newcomer that got all 3 Daily Doubles, my frat brother, Mr. Drew Stark from Morehouse. K-Walk, cue the music.
I believe it.
DJ Khaled! they stay there, and they say yeah.
Good stuff, good stuff.
We and the staff came up with
a new dishwasher or something.
You win the right to come back and defend your title whenever you want to. There are no monetary prizes. We have a very, very low budget on Sports Talk with K-Walk. Now, sometimes K-Walk does put up to $25, and you can win it.
So, yeah,
unfortunately, this wasn't one of those weeks. So, yeah, you here's your prize. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you, brother. Congratulations.
K-Walk,
thank you. My pleasure.
Maybe we got a few minutes.
Came out.
Maybe we can get into NBA or whatever you
want to
get into, but go ahead
and
take us on home.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. Again, Drew, thanks for joining us, and congratulations as well, man. Unfortunately, it wasn't one of the weeks where I put up the 25. For you, I just want to talk about, I know we can get into the whole KD and Kyrie, but I want to talk about Zion Williamson, Zion Williamson has gone down with another hamstring injury. He had a setback. He's been out since January 2nd with that injury. Now he's set back for weeks now. Ego, what say you about Zion Williamson? Has he turned into a bust for you? Is it too soon to judge? What's going on with this guy? And why can't he stay healthy, man? What say you?
I won't call him a bust. But mm-hmm. I do think he's stealing money, but legally stealing it. It just seems like his body is letting him down. I mean, Manny and I mm-hmm. were talking about this the other day. You remember the game against, I think it was Carolina, when his shoes blew out, the Nikes blew out? He really hadn't been the same since that particular incident. And it just looks like mm-hmm. this young man's body lets him down. Now, he did lose a lot of weight. I think that helps him. But, no, I won't say a bust because he's a tremendous talent. He's not like, I would say, Greg Oden. Greg Oden, I would classify as a bust. He was only good at Ohio State. I know he got injured, but he never could really make it work in the league. When Zion is healthy, he one of the best out there night in, night out. But the problem is you can't get him out there. So I won't say bust, but I do think he's stealing money.
Yeah, for sure. And do you think he has to change his game a little bit? Because I know it's hard for him to do that because he is an aggressive guy. He's an explosive guy. And he likes to jump. And, with all that weight coming down, the higher you go, the more impact is going to be once he hits the ground. So do you think he has to change his game a little bit, just be more finesse, or do you think he should stay with that power game?
I think he's got to play the power game. I think I don't know if he mm-hmm. could transition into anything else. But again, I haven't seen him try. So, all things may be possible. But right now, I think he just got to play his game. And hopefully, with the medical staff and the advances in medicine that we have these days, he can somehow pull it together.
Yeah. Drew, what say you about Zion and, his ability or not?
Yeah, I definitely don't think he's a bust. I mean, he's averaging 26 points a game when he plays. So statistically, mm-hmm. he's sound. But, yeah, he needs to stay healthy and play the better part of a season. So I definitely wouldn't call him a bust, but he's not the savior that some people thought he was going to be when he first came into the league.
Yeah, and Kay, what say you?
I don't think he's a bust, man, but I think he needs to fall back. They need to put him on minute restriction. I think for him, with carrying all that weight and being so explosive, playing AAU mm-hmm. ball and winning the Duke, I think his body just needs some real time off. That's what I think. I mean, I know he hasn't played much in the league, but during that time, he was really hurt. You know what I mean? So he wasn't, working out to the fullest extent. When he started working out fully, from my understanding, he was getting ready to get back mm-hmm. on the court. So I think what he really needs, he just really needs some time off, some real time off, like maybe a season to just condition his body for NBA.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever had a chance to do that. I think that's his problem, man. I thought he was going to be a bust from the beginning, but he's proving me mm-hmm. wrong. He's an exceptional player, but his body, the wear and tear of his body being that big and being so explosive is catching up to him. So I think he just needs some real time off.
Yeah, I agree with both all three of you guys. I'm sorry. Is that I don't think he's a bust. I just think he has to just change up his training, his regiment there, maybe his diet as well, man. You know, kind of say no to that buffet, the all night buffet, if you will, making jokes. But yeah, I think he should start more focusing on his body and his body weight. Kind of keep that to, you know, as minimum as possible without you know as far as saying, you know, losing as much weight as he possibly can and being healthy at the same time. But, you know, I think he's not – I don't think he's a bust. I think he'll be back. And if he can stay healthy, I mean, that team is pretty dangerous, man, with some of those pieces that they have there. And I think he's in a position that he can actually lead those guys because he is a horse for sure, for sure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time that we have. Like I do every week, I want to leave you guys with something. This week I'll leave you with this. The only person you should try to be better than is the person you were today. All right. So I want to thank Drew, Mike, Special K for joining us. For myself, K Walk and E Scott on Sports Talk with K Walk and E Scott on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. God willing, we'll talk to you next week.
And you don't stop. Keep it on. Keep it on. Keep it on. You don't stop. Keep it on. Keep it on. Where the party at?